Hello, everybody. This is Comes Naturally Presents The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody. So if you listen to this podcast normally, the normal podcast with Joe, Mike, and myself, we talked about a little something we were going to do, some solo shows. This is mine. Welcome. Thanks for coming in. I'm going to do some business real quick, and then we're going to get into the actual podcast itself. So business as usual, head over to Facebook. You can like and share the Facebook page. You can follow us on there. You can comment on stuff. We'll comment back. We like to see your comments on the stuff we share, so that's really fun. After that, head over to Twitter, where our Twitter handle is @ComesNaturalPod. You can follow us on there. Most likely, Mike will follow you back. The show may follow you back, too. And we would like to see some tweets from some of you guys, too, about other suggestions about some of the other solo shows, some of the stuff you want to see in the main show, regular stuff like that. And you can share the Twitter, too, if you'd like. And then head over to iTunes. iTunes, you can subscribe to the show, so it comes down to you automatically every day it was released, the main show on Friday, my show on Wednesday, and then Joe's show and Mike's show whenever those guys decide what day they want to put it on. So from there, we also ask if you can rate the show, you can review the show, you can share it with other people from on Facebook as well as Twitter or any other social media you have. We do have an Instagram. It doesn't have anything on it yet, but hopefully we'll have some stuff posted on there, some stuff we talk about, some stuff we like, some stuff we're doing as we go on and grow. And then you can also head over to blogtalkradio.com/comesnaturallypodcast. And that's actually our main page for now that has everything on it, including the links to all this other stuff we just mentioned, we talk about on the show, as well as all the different social media stuff we have. So, The Awesome with Cody, this is the first episode. This will come to you the same way all the other shows do, but we'll have just me and maybe someone else on it. But the idea behind this is I talk about things I find awesome. Every month I'm going to pick a different topic. This month being October, we're going to be talking about horror movies. This week, I have decided to talk about Rob Zombie's horror movies. If you don't know Rob Zombie, he is a rock and roll musician as well as a movie director and writer. He's also done some voice stuff in the past, but we're going to talk about his horror movies today, specifically the ones he wrote and directed. We'll start with the first one, House of a Thousand Corpses. If you guys haven't seen any of Rob Zombie's movies, they are very different. They're very influenced by a lot of his early life when he liked different things. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hills Have Eyes, and this one specifically, Hills Have Eyes. But he has a lot of past influences from horror directors, from Italian directors and French directors, a bunch of different ones. I'm not going to go over that because that's who I'm talking about today. But House of a Thousand Corpses was his first major release as a movie director and a writer. He did this movie, if I'm not mistaken, it took him like 16 days or something stupid like that to write the whole thing, and then had a wickedly small budget, like most horror movies do, at 7 million, and then made quite a bit more. Well, I mean, he doubled his money, which is pretty good for any horror movie, but if you double your money, you're definitely going to come back for some more. But with this particular movie, what I liked about it is I'm a really big fan of the horror genre, as you'll learn this month, as well as if you ever listen to the podcast, I'm there too. But the thing about that is, the thing I like about this movie particularly, and what really got me into it, is I'm a real big fan of his music and his music videos, but this one kind of hit a different place because it was gory. It reminded me of a lot of the old school Texas Chainsaw Massacres, The Hills Have Eyes, and it was just unrelenting, and it's one of those things where, like, it doesn't really have a happy ending, but it has all these really memorable characters and moments where it's scary, as well as it's just fun to watch people get murdered in disgusting ways, and it has these really disturbing characters that he created and brought in a lot of his friends and family members. His wife is in it, as well as a bunch of his other friends and friends he's made movies with after this to keep showing up in different ones. But he's created these everlasting characters, and one of the big ones you'll know right away always is Captain Spaulding, which is Sid Haig. If you don't know who this is, Captain Spaulding is a character that was designed for this movie. He has grease paint on like a clown, blue and white, fading hair, and he. I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not going to review the movies, but you'll notice that if you ever look around and you see on the internet and they're talking about different stuff, you'll see this aged clown looking guy pop up in different places. That's Captain Spaulding. He is the focal point of the beginning of the movie and kind of where everything kind of goes crazy and nutty. There's a lot to it. I'm not going to go through the history of it. I'm just going to talk about the stuff I find awesome in it. And the fact that the character he plays is like this over the top backwoods amusement park guy. So it's just super awesome. It's something that just kind of sticks with you, but it sets the tone perfectly for the rest of the movie because it's just crazy, outlandish, weird shit that goes on. It's pretty awesome. But I love that about that character. Is just so ridiculous and so well liked by the horror fans and the people out there, and you'll see him pop every now and then. I go to a lot of Comic Cons and I see people cosplaying him as him, which is weird to think, because if you think cosplay, it's like, oh, people are dressed up like superheroes and characters from like anime and video games, but then there's those people who dress like horror movie people. You know, you have people who dress like Freddy and Jason and Leatherface. And then you'll see these people, and it always makes me smile when I see people dressed as Captain Spaulding, and you yell Captain Spaulding, and majority of them will be like, oh, haha, yeah, you know who I am. And then I even saw a guy at San Diego Comic-Con a bunch of years back who had a briefcase that said the Museum of Monsters and Mad Men, which is the gas station attraction that he runs that you see in this movie. And being someone who grew up in the Southwest, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, we did a lot of traveling with my family, especially my grandparents, my grandmother. We would go on the road because she would drive an RV, so my brother and I would be driving with her, and she'd always go to these weird roadside attractions. Now, luckily, we never ran into any murderous families, but you do see some weird people out on the road, and you realize like anybody will do anything to try to make money at random places. There's one here in Arizona called The Thing. I don't want to spoil nothing for you guys, but it's a mummy, and it's at this weird roadside attraction. I do believe it's off of the 10 when you head outside of Phoenix going east towards like New Mexico. It is bizarre. It's dirty because it's just the doors just stay open, so like the dust will blow in from the desert. And if you've ever been to Arizona, you realize they invented dust here. It is just dusty all the time, no matter what. Even if your house is completely closed up, dust everywhere. And outside dust, not like people dust, actual dust from outside. It's very bizarre. But I have been to several of these little attractions. I know there's a whole lot more throughout the country, especially our country here in America, because it's a thing where anybody who's going to try to make money somewhere, and roadside attractions are just them. And so they've always had a little bit of a horror vibe to them. And there's a bunch of different things that have come out about those things in the past, but this is one of them. So Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Mad Men is just one of the many, and I'm sure Rob Zombie has traveled across this country and on tour has run into several of these. I'm sure there's probably one or two out there that are the reference he used for this, or the idea he got, because there's just weird people out there, and not all murderous, but you know, there's not some very weird people out there. So I love this movie. It was reminding me of The People Under the Stairs, which is another horror movie that I'll talk about maybe on another week's episode. But this particular one reminded me of that because of the creepiness of the house they go into, and this the overall just brutality of it. So I really enjoy that movie a lot. Next up after that was The Devil's Rejects. This was it's touted as a sequel to The Devil's to House of a Thousand Corpses. To me, it's in the same universe, and it surrounds the similar some of the same characters, and it's just not the same exact characters. We do have Sid Haig coming back as Captain Spaulding. You have a couple other returnees that again show up because they are members of the same family that were in a House of Thousand Corpses, and they come back and kind of flush out the story and their lives behind them, so you get to learn a little more about them and who they are and what they do. And this one's a little less of a hacker slash gore fest like House of Thousand Corpses was. This one, it's all about these deranged people and these outlandish characters like Captain Spaulding and Otis and Baby, who are all returning members from House of a Thousand Corpses. They come back, and there's a pretty awesome shootout at the end of the movie. Again, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but I guess that kind of is. But, you know, if you know me, that's what I do. But this one is really fun, too, because the characters are all fucked up. And it just has a real fun vibe to it. And everyone's, of course, really spooky and disturbing and overall fucked up people. But it's pretty awesome just in general how deranged it gets and just fun. It's again, it's one of those things where it's inspirations he got from early horror movies like Zombies with an Eye and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, especially this one, Texas Chainsaw Massacre for sure. Hills Have Eyes is a little bit in here because of the weirdness in the family. And then, of course, there's the weird, twisted lens that he sees the world through, his world through, not our world. Like, that's just weird. In there, too, so it's really awesome the way they do it. And again, a very small budget on this one, and he made his money back. So, you know, studios were all happy with him. That's actually what led us to our next movie, where he remade Halloween, the 1978 classic film, who many say is still one of the best, and I believe that is still actually one of the best out there too. It was very original. It brought us one of movies' greatest monsters, and that's Michael Myers. He is iconically clad in a white mask that has messed up hair, usually carrying a large knife and wearing those overalls. Little known fact about that, if you guys don't know, the mask they use is actually a William Shatner mask that they, I think they painted white, and it's because they didn't find one that had more of a blank stare to it, and they didn't want to use one they had to pay for that was already rights by somebody else, like a clown mask or something like that, so they just made this mask in it. And so they did the same thing for his version. His version came out in 2007, was a direct remake. It was I would say a lovingly remade version of it, drastically higher budget for this movie. It doubled all of his other movies so far, had some amazing people in it. Tyler Mane, who, if you guys don't know, is huge in the horror movie realm. You don't ever see his face for the most part, but he's played in a lot of stuff. He was in Devil's Rejects, where Rob Zombie kind of got his thing. But he was he played Mike Myers in both versions that Rob Zombie did. So Halloween and Halloween 2 released a couple years after that. I'm trying to think of something you guys might know him from, know his face. He was Sabretooth in the very first X-Men movie, the Bryan Singer movies. So if you recognize that, just imagine that dude, that giant mammoth of a man, is the, the guy behind the mask, you could really say, in Halloween 1 and 2 by Rob Zombie. So the one, his take on, Halloween is a little different. It's a little more his style, which some people didn't like, especially the people who are the, I don't want to say snobby people, but there are these people out in the air, and you know who what I'm talking about if you're a movie fan, horror movie fan. There's these people who, like, they're purists. They like how they were originally, and they don't like to see them remade. They're the same people who, like, shit on the remake of The Thing or the sequel-ish or prequel thing to the Thing. Whatever you want to call that. It's like a sort of remake prequel-ish movie. It's very weird, but that's for another day and another month probably. But this one had his flair to it. It was ultra violent. Not that the Halloween movies ever steered away from violence, but it had the abundance of violence that Rob Zombie is known for in his movies. When I say that, he's three movies deep at this point in his career, but he's kind of had this staple that he's come along with. He again wrote and directed it. He didn't steer away from the, he didn't steer away from the essence of Michael Myers as the killer for Halloween. I think he actually did a really good job of keeping in line with it, because he just gave it more of like a deranged story why Michael Myers is the way he is, because you never really see Michael Myers as a kid in the originals. So Rob Zombie wanted to make this kind of like an origins movie, and so that's essentially what he did with this, and he made it super fucked up. And you get to see kind of the evolution of Michael Myers as the masked killer in this, because you see the development. Again, I'm not going to spoil anything for it, break down the movie, but you see Rob Zombie's way of making him how he is, and the way he looks is really cool. Malcolm McDowell, I can't talk apparently, is in this, and this one starts off a friendship with Rob Zombie for a couple different reasons, but he's in this one. He's also in the sequel. If you've watched these movies, you know what I'm talking about. He's very crucial in it, and including in the sequel itself. But this particular one is it is a remake. I think it's one of the best remakes that's ever been made, because it didn't just try to do the same thing. It tried to elaborate on it and make it something of its own, which I really liked, but some people, you know, shit on or whatever, but I don't care what other people think. I enjoyed it, and I find it awesome. So that's why I'm talking about it. Then that same year, he released a faux trailer, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because it is also a horror movie that I desperately want him to make. It is a faux trailer that screened with Grindhouse. If you guys don't know what Grindhouse is, Grindhouse was a dual movie release from Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. They had two different movies that were done in Grindhouse style, which is like the old school 70s really fucked up premise movies and just like gory stuff, which is a lot of stuff that Rob Zombie grew up watching and loved, and that's why he made the movies he did, like House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects, his version of Halloween, as well as his other stuff we're going to talk about, that definitely shows where he fits in, because Grindhouse was like his wheelhouse. So we can talk about Grindhouse another day, but he did an awesome faux trailer. So if you again don't know what Grindhouse is, there's these two movies that they released, and what they did was really cool about it is it was a long day in the theater. So because the first movie was an hour and some, like almost an hour and a half, if not longer, and the second movie is like 40 minutes, so it's like a good 3 hours you're sitting in the theater, which some people just can't do. But for fun, because back in the day when these Grindhouse type movies used to come out, they used to have trailers for other movies that are similar to them. So when they came out, they actually had their Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez had their friends, three friends to be exact, come out and make faux trailers for him. Well, Robert Rodriguez made one called Machete, which later on turned into two movies that were fantastic as well, but on a different scale, a different type of thing. Well, not a horror movie. But Rob Zombie made one called Werewolf Women of the SS, and it is, to me, it's amazing. It's awesome. That's why it's here. And it fits in so well with the tone of the Grindhouse movies, because the way it is, like, so in this, if you don't know what it is, Nicolas Cage stars in it as Fu Manchu Uta Kuger, which is based, or Uta Kuger, who is a Franz Hans. I'm not going to go through these names, they're terrible, and I'm terrible at names, as you probably know, but his wife is in it as well. But it's exactly how it sounds, but it's a play on an old movie called She-Wolf of the SS, which isn't a horror, it's not really a horror movie in its own right, but it was this exploitation type film from back in the day. It was like I'm trying to find the info. Oh, it's a Canadian movie, but it was like sexploitation, so like they took a subject and just made it outlandish. And so the She-Wolf of the SS was this ridiculous movie where this like sadistic woman Nazi was like doing sex experiments on prisoners in this camp, and it's just crazy. So he played off of that, and he called it the werewolf woman of the SS, where, as you could probably guess, Nick Cage's character Fu Manchu had werewolves that were part of his SS army, and so he had, it was pretty awesome. It was, like I said, it's not very long. It's a trailer, so it's supposed to just be like a sizzle reel, especially those old school trailers where they didn't show you a whole lot, just like, these are who's in, this is who's in, this is what happens, and boom, there it is. So it was pretty awesome. And you can watch it on YouTube, I'm pretty sure, still. But it's just the most amazing thing ever, and I really want him to make it into a full-length movie so I can watch how ridiculous it is. And bring Nicolas Cage back, because that dude will do anything. And he already did it once, so why not reprise that role and get it in there even more? The next one up, Halloween 2, talked about it already, along with Halloween, again, comes back. He tried to do a little more, I think, in my eyes, he did more of a kind of cut forward horror movie. This one, he didn't kind of go a little bit outside the gate a little bit. If you've seen it, you know there's a little bit too there, but there's still not nearly as much as some of his other movies, but still really enjoyable. A little more classic Halloween, really. But that same year, he did an animated movie that was a direct-to-DVD release, which, if you guys haven't seen it or even heard of this, it is ridiculous. So it's called The Haunted World of El Super Beasto, and it is a fully animated movie. The animation style is very reminiscent of like the Warner Brothers, like Bugs Bunny type cartoon. I'm pretty sure I can find the animators in here and you'll understand it, but it doesn't matter. It's voiced by a couple different people. So Sherry Moon Zombie, who's Rob Zombie's wife, is in it. Rosario Dawson, Tom Kenny, who, if you don't know who Tom Kenny is an amazing voice actor. It's SpongeBob. He does the voice of SpongeBob. Paul Giamatti and Brian Posehn are in there. And it's phenomenal. Tom Papa it plays El Super Beasto, or voices El Super Beasto. There's just a huge run of other people in this too. Those are the biggest ones that I think a lot of people would know. Danny Trejo's in it also, but it's this ridiculous animation movie that is pure Rob Zombie. If he were to make a cartoon in the like Looney Tunes, this is exactly what it would be, but it would be like he makes stuff which is just super fucked up and just bizarre. And if you've ever seen the movie Heavy Metal, it has a little bit of aspect to that too, but with, I would say, more American classic animation versus like that very industrialized English animation they use in Heavy Metal. But just as sexual, just as ridiculous. El Super Beasto is, the Haunted World of El Super Beasto is just this crazy, I can't believe they made this type of thing. I really wish it would have come to theaters, because it was amazing to watch in it. But it was co-written with Tom Papa, the comedian, which I didn't know at the time. They're actually really good friends, and Rob Zombie actually directed a Comedy Central special for Tom Papa. And it's super weird too. If you ever watch it, the special, pretty normal. And if you see it on TV, a lot of times they don't show you the beginning and the end stuff. It's basically just Tom Papa on stage. But if you watch the release, if you through like the Comedy Central app, or if it pops up somewhere else, or if you own, like you want to buy it on DVD or iTunes or wherever you get movies from, you can watch it. And it has this intro where it's super bizarre and super weird. And you got to realize it's Rob Zombie wrote it with Tom Papa, and they have this weird like partnership idea melding thing. It's so strange, but it is amazing. But this particular one, I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to go into it. I just want to tell you what's awesome about it. The awesome part is it infuses Rob Zombie's music in with the, his particular music, but his style of music into it. So there's actual songs written in it. If you don't know who Hard and Firm are, they are a comedic comedy parody music group. They did the songs, a couple songs for it. It is Chris Hardwick and his partner Mike Furman, who used to do stand-up comedy parody music together. They did the songs for it, so when you hear songs in it, if you ever watch this particular one, you will hear these bizarre ass songs that are in it. That's actually Chris Hardwick. If you don't know who Chris Hardwick is, you're probably not really into the geek world. He is the uber geek right now. He's everywhere. He does Talking Dead and all these other things. The Nerdist is his brainchild and his empire at this point. But he and Chris Furman wrote the music, some of the songs for this particular movie. And then Tyler Bates wrote the score for it. And I think they captured the essence of Rob Zombie's world and put it into this animated movie. And I think did an amazing job. Tyler Bates has done music for so many other movies out there. He's even done video games. I'm not going to go on a crazy tyrant of what he's done, but some of the stuff that he's created music for would be a lot of Zack Snyder's movies, 300, Sucker Punch, Dawn of the Dead. He did Halloween. He did a lot of the Grindhouse stuff. He did Watchmen. He almost did every Zack Snyder movie possible on there too. But he has made so much stuff. He worked on some of the Killzone games for PlayStation. He did some of the God of War stuff, one of them or two of them. He did the score for Guardians of the Galaxy, the James Gunn movie. So if you don't know what that is, then obviously we're not friends. He did one of the most recent ones he did was Atomic Blonde, which is pretty cool. He did some of the music for that. He did some of the music for Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. He did John Wick. So just a bunch of stuff. So Tyler Bates is really popular too. So not that Super Beasto has music from any of those, but just so you know, that's who he is and where he comes from. But El Super Beasto, or the haunted world of El Super Beasto, or nicknamed El Super Beasto, is one of the most awesome things. And the reason it's a horror movie is because it's based in this hellish world where these demons and everything run around. So it's pretty amazing. And then after that, his next one up, which is a return to his style stuff, but actually, if you ask me, toned down more for more of a classic spooky vibe to it. So this one's called Lords of Salem. This one stars his wife, Sherry Moon Zombie, amongst other people you may have not known, but they're in there. And it's basically his take on a more classic modern horror movie where it's like spooky and supernatural versus like the outlandish hack and slash gore fest that he does with his other movies. I don't want to say low budget, but he did a more of a indie release on this one, so it didn't hit a lot of theaters and may not have seen it, but I think it was really fun. It was really fucked up and pretty awesome, but it was, you know, it's still his movie, written and directed by him, but really more of a traditional horror movie, suspense type thing. Still had his stuff in it with the weird characters and the outlandish characterizations of people you may or may not know in your life, but still pretty awesome. Fits right in with his whole little world he's built with his zombie verse. And then after that, he did it's called the Zombie Horror Picture Show. So this was a release of a concert film of Rob Zombie's, where he basically made like a stage presentation of a bunch of these songs that are kind of based around his music and his movies. And if you ever listen to his more contemporary stuff, where it's basically his band Rob Zombie versus White Zombie, you'll see any of his music videos you've seen, like Living Dead Girl, Dragula, any of those ones, they're very stylized in a Rob Zombie way. So this is just a thing he did where he just did a live performance, but it was like he did these huge stage shows, and it was pretty fun. But it has a horror vibe to it because it's Rob Zombie, and you know, if your last name is Zombie, you're gonna have a horror vibe no matter what. And his last one that he released last year, which if you missed this in theaters, shame on you if you're a horror movie fan or a Rob Zombie movie fan, because 31, I think, was a masterpiece of his and a masterpiece in general. But he crowdfunded this obviously crowdfunding with lots of people, but he did this on his own, like the most on his own way he could possibly do. He worked with a lot of people he worked with in the past, his wife. He worked Malcolm McDowell's in this one. Some of the returning people from other movies that he's done in the past are in this. But man, it is, if you've ever seen Rob Zombie's live show, again, his music videos, the zombie horror picture show, any of his movies, like I said, this is like the what he wanted to do. He shot it in like a few days, like a week or something like that. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, but he released it in festivals and released it in theaters for like one night. My buddy Matt and I went to see it because my buddy Matt and I are kind of like a horror movie buddies. We like to go see all the horror movies together. We used to do it all the time, and then families and work got in the way. But him and I love watching these movies because we, him and I are the only people I know that like laugh at certain parts in it. Like him and I went and saw it, the new remake of it, and there's parts in it you're probably not supposed to laugh at, but we did. But in this one, to me, it's just this, again, all it is just showing off these crazy characters that he has running around in his head. And like, there's this like midget Nazi, and it's basically the whole thing is everybody's painted like these ridiculous clowns that have these alter egos they live by, and it's this weird show, like game show thing put on for these rich people to bet on, and then they basically torture and kill these people in this game that is basically run by these people, and these clown monster people will try to basically kill you. And you have like 12 hours to escape from it. It's ridiculous. Not many people saw it because of the fact it wasn't really in theaters. But to me, it's, if you like any of his stuff, it's definitely been one of them because it's just ridiculous from like beginning to end. And it's there are no punches being pulled whatsoever by this. He is just full-blown crazy in it, and he has one of my favorite character actors, Lou Temple, in it, and Lou Temple plays one of the best characters I've ever seen on film. And the way they do it, because it's mostly all about him for the most part, in a way, but if you watch this, if you get a chance to watch it, or if you feel like you want to watch it, sit down and look at it, because it is unbelievable the shit he throws in this and the craziness he thinks of. And when I say this, it's nothing, the idea of this movie, overall idea, is not hugely original. I'm not gonna say it's like, oh, it's the most original thing ever. It's just the what he does with the idea that is just, I mean, if you've ever seen Death Race, the movie Death Race, the remake or the original, Death Race 2000 was original, I think it was original, might be one before that, but it's this contest where these people are trying to kill kill each other in this race. It's the same idea, except for like you're like a Running Man style. If you've seen Running Man before, these contestants get thrown in this dangerous game of life and death, literal life and death, against these outlandish, crazy characters. This is what it is. So it's crazy and ridiculous like Death Race, but it's got the same theme as Running Man, with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. If you haven't seen that, then shame on you. But that one's, it's very similar to that. If you haven't seen it, or if you haven't seen this particular movie, you know that's what it is. It's fantastic. It is just out there at a whole new level, and it is awesome. I think it's awesome, hence reason it's on The Awesome with Cody. And that is actually going to wrap us up with this first episode of The Awesome with Cody. So again, this month, all October long, I'm going to be talking about horror movies. I'm going to try to focus on collections or franchises this month, kind of just so I have a focus point for every episode that I am on, and hope you guys enjoy it. Let me know on Facebook and Twitter and all that fun stuff what you thought, and I will see you next week on this particular show on Wednesday, and of course on Friday with the guys. So thanks for listening. Comes Naturally Presents The Awesome with Cody. Thanks.